Hello everyone, how are you doing? Well, I'm very pleased to be with you today. That's great, thank you. I was just wondering what I was going to do with that. Now, do I use this or do you? It's for me. Excellent. Okay. Well, what a wonderful morning. Well, what an amazing church you are to do all this amazing, fabulous, fantastic, etc., blah, 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 mission stuff. Oh, okay. Right. When you travel a little bit, you've got to get your jokes right, haven't you? I went to Sweden recently. Do you know they don't have a sense of humour? They want to laugh, but you've got to tickle them. No, they do. When you make a joke, they go, oh, oh, oh. And I realised why. No, I did realise why, because if you go to Sweden, I don't know if you notice, in some places in Europe, they don't give you decent pillows. Have you noticed that? Yeah, who's noticed that they don't give you pillows when you travel to places like Sweden? Yeah, they've got these little square things like a cushion. And if you sleep on them long enough, because we were there for 10 days, you end up with a crick neck. And I realise why they don't laugh. Because they've all got crick necks. They go... So, but anyway, we had a great time over there. Well, I'm very pleased to be with you on your missional Sunday. So if you don't mind, I'd like to teach a little about mission from heaven's perspective. And the title of my talk, if this is okay with you, is Heaven's Signs and Mission's Gateways. And I'd like to talk to you from the Gospel, from the book of Acts. Luke wrote the book of Acts. He also wrote the book of Luke. And really, the book of Luke and the book of Acts is one book in two parts. It starts with Jesus and continues with what Jesus is doing through his church. And as you examine Luke's account, who was a historian, and in the beginning of the book of Luke, he says, I have chosen to give a very orderly account of the things that Jesus has begun to do. And as a historian, he took all of his material and he ordered them in a very specific and particular way to draw out particular points. And it's very interesting that when we look at the book of Acts and the book of Luke, he comments and notices a significant number of interventions from heaven. Angels are flying in from heaven all over the place. From the start of the book of Luke, when he says an angel comes to Zacharias, an angel then comes to Mary. Angels turn up from heaven to a whole bunch of shepherds. Angels turn up to Joseph and give a warning about Herod wanting to kill Joseph and send him off to Egypt. We see angels ministering to Jesus at the Garden of Gethsemane. We see angels turning up at heaven from the stone to announce the resurrection of Jesus. We see angels turning up saying to Philip, go and speak to an Ethiopian eunuch. And then we see another angel turning up in Acts chapter 11, and I'd like to read it for you, if I don't mind, and that's a great start. Great, you might have to do the clicky thing for me. Great. What a very humble man you are. You don't have to prostrate yourself before me, it's all right. I know the introduction was very kind, but you've gone far enough, it's okay. Thank you. I must say, the shirts are very toned down today. One thing I notice about River shirts River Church, is the shirts that you have. Really, generally, you wear very fancy shirts, don't you? I think you should be called the Church of the Dancing Men with the Fancy Shirts. Right. Luke chapter 11. The apostles and the believers throughout Judea had heard the Gentiles had also received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers, that's the Jewish believers, criticized him and said, you went to the house of an uncircumcised man and ate with them. Starting from the beginning, Peter told them the whole story. And this is why Peter, the apostle, ended up sharing the gospel, the message of Jesus, to people beyond his culture, known as the Gentiles, those who were not Jews. And this is what he said. Peter told them, I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. I saw something like a large sheet being let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came down to where I was. I looked into it and saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, reptiles, and birds. Then I heard a voice telling me, "Peter, get up, kill and eat." I replied, "Surely not, Lord. Nothing impure or unclean has ever entered my mouth." The voice spoke from heaven a second time, "Don't call anything impure that which I've made clean." This happened three times. I've gone too far. This happened three times. Now, gone too far. This happened three times. Next page. Work. Okay. Three times. Where am I? Yes. I replied, "Surely not, Lord. Nothing impure or unclean has entered my mouth. Don't call anything clean that I've called clean." This happened three times. This happened three times, and then the blanket or the sheet was pulled up to heaven again. Right then, three men who had been sent from Caesarea stopped at the house I was staying. The Spirit told me to have no hesitation and going with them. These six brothers also went with me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen an angel appear to his house and say to him, send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He will bring you a message through which your whole household will be saved. As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came upon them as he had come upon us in the beginning. And I remembered what the Lord had said, "John baptized with water, but you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So if God gave them the same gift that he gave us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I should stand in God's way? And so these Gentile believers, and it happened to be a Roman centurion and his household, all got baptized. When the Jews who were listening to Peter's account heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying to them, "So then, even the Gentiles has been granted the gift of repentance that leads to life." So what we see in this story is a sign from heaven that opens up a missional gateway. There you go. Do you know what that is? That's the St. Louis Arch. It's an arch in St. Louis that actually represents the gateway of the pioneers into the western part of America. And so it represents this gateway where the pioneers went to establish entrepreneurial endeavors establish the American dream. And what we see in this passage of Scripture is a sign from heaven in angelic form that opened the minds and the understanding and the hearts of the Jews to a missional territory and culture beyond their experience. Up until this time, the gospel had only gone to the Jews. It was locked up in their thinking. So when they heard that Peter had gone and shared the message of Jesus to people who weren't Jews, to the Gentiles, to Cornelius, the Roman centurion, and his household, it says that they criticized Peter for it. The apostles and believers throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him and said, "You went to the house of an uncircumcised man and ate with him." You see, the gospel, the message of Jesus, the message of God and the ways of God had been locked up in the Jewish culture, in the Jewish mind for 4,000 years since the time of Moses. And whilst there were some converts to Judaism and to Hebrew culture and the Hebrew faith, it was not in the Hebrew mind or the Jewish mind to actually go and take the gospel to another culture, to another territory, to another people group. The thinking was, you've got to come to us, but we are not going to go to you. And this mindset had so been entrenched within the Jewish culture that when the gospel came to the Gentiles through Peter, their first response was to criticize and be cautious about this. And then Peter goes through the whole story of explains what exactly happened. This angel turned up one day whilst he was sleeping or having a trance in a moment of prayer. And the angel spoke to Peter was praying, and a sign from heaven came down, and this sign was a blanket with animals on it. And the animals were unclean animals that you weren't allowed to eat. And a voice from heaven said to Peter, look, eat these, even though they're unclean in your Jewish understanding. And Peter protested. But God was now saying, no, I've declared these things clean, and it was a symbolic sign from heaven that you could go to the Gentiles, the people that you normally wouldn't associate, and bring them my message, because I want to bring them to you, to myself. And then at the same time, Cornelius, who was a Gentile, not a Jew, was praying at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and an angel came from heaven. An angel from heaven came and said to Cornelius, go and get Peter, and he's going to bring you a message that will reveal to you and explain to you the ways of God and how your whole family can know me and be saved and encounter me. It is typical of God that when he wants to open up our minds and our understanding and our eyes to new missional opportunities, to people groups, to an individual, to a nation, to a culture that we haven't thought of, where in our own thinking the gospel is locked up, where we don't go or don't know how to go, that it hasn't crossed our mind, that we don't have faith for, that we don't feel we got finances for, that we don't feel we got the time for, we don't feel we got the energy for, or we don't even have the heart for, because it hasn't crossed our mind. It is typical of God in Scripture to actually visit us or give us a sign from heaven, a supernatural encounter, an unusual happening, something that is orchestrated from him, that is beyond our experience, that will actually arrest our attention, that there is a world to reach beyond our circumstance and beyond our experience and beyond our geography and beyond our particular territory that we're living in. And this is what happened. And when you see God breaking through in a missional manner, time and time again, it's accompanied by supernatural signs and encounters that come from him from heaven. So that when the Gospels are opened to us through Luke, John, the father of John the Baptist, Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, gets an angelic visitation. Mary, who's going to bear the Savior of the world, gets an angelic visitation. When the gospel was first proclaimed, it was proclaimed through an angel after the resurrection. Before Jesus was about to go on the cross and do the deed that would work forgiveness and salvation and redemption for all humanity, he was ministered to by angels. When the Ethiopian eunuch Acts chapter 8, was told the gospel by Philip for the first time. It was an angel that told him to go to a certain place. And there in that certain place, he came across a chariot, and the Ethiopian eunuch was in it, where he shared the gospel. And here again, Cornelius the centurion has a visitation from an angel. And at the same time, Peter has a sign, a blanket, says Luke, that came from heaven. And when Peter preached the gospel, shared Jesus, the message to Cornelius, it says the Spirit of God came from heaven. And heaven's signs are missional gateways. They're sent by God to open our minds to opportunities, to individuals, an Ethiopian eunuch, to cultures, a Gentile world, to family groups, Cornelius' family, so that we will go share our faith with courage, with confidence, and see what God will do. And this typically happens when there are areas that God wants us to reach, but our mental position is not in a place where we can see the places where God wants us to go, or we don't have the faith for it, either because of time, or because of money, or because of our own competence, because we feel inadequate, or we just say, God, I can't do it. And time again, God will come to us with these signs. And I want to encourage you this morning to be aware and to be alert for the signs of God from heaven that will be arresting your attention to a person, to a people group, to a culture, to a nation, to a family, to a street, to a playgroup, to a school, to a classroom, to a university, to a gym club, to a business network that you may not have even thought are missionally ready and open, and a harvest that all they need to do is hear the words and the testimony and the story that comes from your mouth. And then God comes by his Spirit and performs an astonishing miracle. We at the moment are seeing a significant number of people come to Jesus as we pray for them through being healed, just like that story that we heard today. It hasn't always been that case. We haven't always pressed in for healing in our church. There was a time when we would pray for people to be healed and we couldn't heal a headache. No, seriously, we couldn't heal a headache. We wouldn't be able to heal a bad toe. But in the last year alone, we've seen over 1,000 people healed across Wales. Just before I went to Sweden, in 1 week, I saw 60 people healed in 1 week. Now, don't misread or misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not talking about I'm praying for 60 people and they're getting healed. No, other people are doing the praying. I just happen to be there watching them do it. 60 people get healed. Nearly every single Sunday morning, people are getting healed on a Sunday morning. It's not through a ministry time. They're coming up and telling me at the end, oh, so-and-so came to church for the first time. We prayed for him, and he got healed, and he's given his life for Christ. I know for a fact there is somebody coming to church for the first time this morning because they got healed last week, and they got saved, and they're bringing their family along. That is happening regularly, but it hasn't always been like that. Let me tell you, one of the triggers that caused us to press into this missional opportunity with relentless persistence and faith and just kept going for it until we saw the breakthrough. It was an angelic visitation. It was a sign from heaven. I remember I've had two angelic visitations, only two. One was when I was lying in bed and I heard these words, Julian. And I turned round and I thought it might have been Sarah calling to me and she was fast asleep. And I went to sleep, had a divine dream, woke up, and when I woke up in the middle of the night, there was an angel standing in the room and it ministered to me and said one or two things. The second time was this. I'm on holiday now, of all places, abroad in a nice hotel. I was actually working out in the gym trying to get rid of some of the calories that I've been putting on through too much buffet eating. And as I'm working out, I hear this, Julian, about here. I turn round, there was nobody there. And I thought to myself, uh-oh, I've had this before. That night, I went to sleep. In the night, this is what happened. And the reason I know it was an angelic visitation in a dream, like Joseph was visited in a dream, is because of the Julian. And God did that as a sign to alert me that this wasn't just a dream, but to pay attention. And this is what happened. Sarah and I are in a house that represented the church in the dream. And then, just out of the blue, the glory of God fills the house. What time do you want me to finish, by the way? 10 minutes? Okay. Amen. The glory of God fills this house, the living room. And we knew immediately what it was, the cloud of his presence. It was thick. It was a thick cloud of his glory and his presence, a Shekinah glory. It comes in the form of a cloud if you read it in the scriptures. We immediately knew what to do. So we opened the windows just like that, and we started to praise God out of the windows, declaring the praises of God. And immediately the glory of God, the cloud of his presence, filled the garden. And when it filled the garden, two angels, massive angels, came from heaven. And one was carrying a big scroll. And one held the scroll and the other one opened it. And the scroll had like thick ink, almost like the ink of a Hebrew scribe. But it was of a heavenly parchment and it was of a heavenly ink. And the scroll said these words: Holy Spirit, supernatural healing ministries. And as soon as I read it, the angels went on the top of the roof of the house, which represented the church, and the garden represented the world outside the church, and that this scroll became a banner over the church, but an invitation for the world to come. And from that moment in time, we have been pressing into healings because of it, because we saw that that sign from heaven was an archway, a missional invitation, a missional archway that we hadn't seen or known before. We were just seeing evangelism in terms of serving people that we build credibility, sharing our faith that they understand the God that motivates us to serve. But from that moment in time, we pursued healing relentlessly. Even when people didn't get healed, we weren't going to give up. We pursued it until it began to rack up. When it's unusual now for the people we pray for, especially unchurched people, not to get healed. But it was the sign, it's the sign from heaven that opens your mind to pursue something, even when you don't have faith for it or it's outside your personal experience. So I'll give you another story. I went to Willow Creek, and I wanted to go to the church to visit it. So I was on sabbatical, and I thought, what I'd like to do is I'm going to fly in Saturday night to go to Willow Creek Community Church, and then I'm going to fly in and fly out. It was a real quick trip, and it was on the way home. And I only had a very limited amount of time to fly in, go to Willow Creek, fly back home. So I booked a hotel in Chicago Airport, and it was a 40-minute drive, taxi drive, from Willow Creek to the airport and back again. Now, this is the problem. The public transport is useless in America, so I only had a limited amount of time, so I decided to pay the money and just fork out for the taxi drive. I was going to the Saturday night evening service. I only had a few hours to do this quick turnaround thing, or it'll be a totally wasted journey. And I've always wanted to go and visit this church just to see what it's like. And I knew it was massive, so it would take me a long time to have a good look round. I ordered a taxi. I had timed this thing to the minute so I could actually get back and make my flights work and everything. I'm waiting outside the hotel airport, and the taxi doesn't turn up. And I'm thinking, oh no. I've come all this way. I'm going to waste this money, this opportunity. I'm going to go home without ever seeing this place. And I'm thinking, what do I do? And I prayed this prayer, Lord, what do I do? And immediately I heard these words: go back to the reception, order another taxi, and say this: make sure the taxi man knows I want to go to South Barrington, because that's where the church is. I went back in. I said, my taxi hasn't turned up. Be quiet. My taxi hasn't turned up. Would you please reorder me another taxi quickly and let them know I want to go to South Barrington, 40-minute drive away? At that, a gentleman at reception turns round and says, excuse me, where would you like to go in South Barrington? I said, Willow Creek Community Church. He says, I'll take you there. I live next door. I go, in my head, yeah, like, I mean, this is a massive place. He says, we sold Willow Creek Community Church the land so they could build their extension. We're the only house that lived next door, literally. So he drove me there. It is literally the only house. If you've ever been there, it is the only house because it's a massive space. Now, this is the thing. There's 9 million people who live in Chicago. What's the chances of that happening? 1 in 9 million. Now, when things like that happen, let me tell you, this is a thing about signs from, that was a sign from heaven. Now, when things like that happen, this is what we have to be aware of. It's not about the taxi drive. It's not about God wanting me to go to a service. There's something else going on. I didn't know what it was, but it lifts your attention. So, oh, what is going on? It wasn't because God just wanted me to get to Willow Creek. He is alerting my attention for a sign from heaven that he's going to speak again and he's going to reveal something. Because this is not true. It's too trivial for something dramatic like that to happen. Am I communicating? So a number of years later, we're looking at buying this new building. It's going to cost us a lot of money. It's a supermarket. And we have a sense that God wants us to buy it because he wants to use it to bring a mission towards sort of Wales out of this place for the whole of the nation through a national network and gathering leaders to just, you know, get them equipped and ready and mobilized to change the nation as the church across Wales. The building is in a place called Morriston. A number of years later, I am actually in Willow Creek again on a conference this time, and somebody invites me to dinner in Chicago. So we go for dinner, and they say, what do you want to do this later on this evening? I said, well, I like to walk around downtown Chicago, me and Sarah there, we've never seen it, could you just drop us off? So they drop us off down this street, downtown Chicago, in a taxi. I step out of onto the sidewalk. As I step out the sidewalk, four boys walk towards me. And the guy who's leading this pack of four is wearing a Welsh rugby shirt. And it says Cymru on it, which is Welsh for Wales. And I stop him, and I say, where did you get that shirt? And he said, I got it in Wales. And I said, what were you doing in Wales? He says, I was on a mission. What? Where were you on a mission? Swansea. That's where I'm from. Where in Swansea? Morriston. Now, what's the chances of you stepping onto a side street the second time you visit Chicago from Willow Creek? One is you get a lift there. The second is there's a guy who's American wearing a Welsh shirt from Swansea, on a mission, from Morriston, the very place we are looking to buy this building that we need faith for and confirmation for, that we feel God is going to bring a mission to Wales from. Sign from heaven. You see? Sign from heaven. So when God wants to open up your mind to new territories and give you faith and confidence and motivation to go, he will give you signs from heaven that will unlock your mind to locked up territories. And those signs from heaven become missional gateways. Now, this is the significant thing. Have I got 5 minutes left? And then I can wrap it up. Okay. How long have I been speaking for? I've been speaking too long because I can leave it there. So I've got 7, technically. Is that all right? Can I take 7, or do you want me to do 5? I'll do whatever you want. Right. 1. Britain has been locked up missionally. First thing, Britain's been locked up missionally for maybe the last 25 years. Where churches and individuals and pastors haven't really known how to open up our nation to the gospel. We've done gospel events, we've done missional events, we've done stuff, but still 98% of the population of England and Wales don't know Jesus. 30 years ago, 98% of the population of England and Wales didn't know Jesus. We've had Spring Harvest, we've had, you know, charismatic revolution, we've had renewal of the Holy Spirit, we've had new wine events, we've had Alpha, we've had amazing things, we've had March for Jesus, We've got amazing things happening, but still the stats are the same. And still people, over the last 25 years, have shared their faith, shared the message, done, and it's been like hit like a brick wall. It's still been locked up. And what that has done has robbed confidence of the church to do mission, where we've retreated, and although people give it a go, there's a lack of confidence, there's become a fear of rejection, and a sense of hopelessness and despair and timidity within the church regarding mission. It's been locked up. I was doing a prayer walk not so long ago, and I felt the Holy Spirit say to me this: change your clothes, it's a new season. What happens when you change your clothes? You see, clothes represent an attitude. It's a mindset. And if you wear winter clothes when the sun comes out, it's inappropriate and it gets uncomfortable, and you need to change your clothes to represent the new season you're in. Sometimes we can be living with wrong mindsets in wrong seasons. You see, we are now in a new season. And the Lord wants us to say to us, I'm talking about Great Britain now, I'm talking about your location, your street, your schools, your friends, your business colleagues, your workmates, your people in the education place, your fellow students. I'm talking about you now. I'm talking about your friends, the people that you love and the people that you lock eyes with on Monday morning. Change your mind, change our minds, change our attitude, because at one time when it was all locked up, when we really didn't know how to walk through that archway, that missional gate to make the gospel count, now, through the working of God, we've come into a new season where there is an openness, there's a blank sheet, there's a willingness to listen, there's a willingness to engage, there's a willingness to dialogue, there's a willingness to be heard. We now live in a generation where anybody under 30 generally hasn't been to church. You could think, oh, that's a bad thing. That is a brilliant thing, missionally, because they haven't had a bad experience. They haven't any real knowledge. We've got people coming to church from time to time, and they don't know anything about Jesus. They know he was born at Christmas and something happened at Easter, but they can't work it out. What's the difference between the Easter Bunny, Father Christmas, and Jesus? They really don't know the difference, because there's such a lack of knowledge regarding Christianity, and they have not had a bad experience regarding church because they've never been. So there's a blank sheet, and a blank sheet means that there's nothing to fight against, but where there's a lack of knowledge or experience, usually it creates a hunger and a desire to explore. So we have a different attitude now within British culture. And now, with post-modernity, people are far more open to spiritual encounter and spiritual experience and mysticism and mysteriousness and spirituality. Now, the signs from heaven that are telling us to change our minds, to have a new confidence, to give it another go, to share it again, to tell the same story and articulate the message once again, where in the past we may have tried it and got nowhere, but have courage and do it again. The signs from heaven are these healings. Healings are signs from heaven that God is opening up a new missional gateway in our nation. But for us to be able to walk through that gateway, we have to have courage and faith and confidence. And that looks like a change of clothes, a new mindset, confidence. Don't be timid. Don't fear rejection. Don't back out. Don't duck the issues. Be meek in your spirit, but fearless in your heart. Articulate with meekness and humility, but fearlessness. Gentleness and fearlessness is unstoppable. Give it another go and share your story once again. Let me give you another sign from heaven. A girl came to us, Angela, she's one of our small group leaders, and she said, Julian, I keep getting this reoccurring dream and it's really freaking me out. She thought it was bad. I said, what is it? She said, my mouth keeps filling up with stones. And every time I take the stones out, they get filled up again with stones. And she thought it was something bad because it was a reoccurring dream. And I thought to myself, Lord, what does this mean? And immediately I understood that stones, you know what stones represent in the scripture, don't you? Testimony. When God had done something, they put a stone down as a testimony and as a memorial of what God had done. So I said to her, Angela, this is speaking about rehearsing your testimony once again. And once you've shared your testimony, say it again and again, because it kept filling up. Don't stop sharing your story, your testimony. There's power in it. Salvation testimony, God answers to prayer testimony, church testimonies, healing testimony. Share them, because in this season, God is going to bring power and revelation and touch people's heart through your testimony. And then I thought to myself, Lord, why? Why did you give this dream to Angela? And do you know what came to my mind? Her name. Yeah, her name. Her name means angel, which means messenger. It's a messenger, a sign from heaven. I want to say to you, church, I want to encourage you to change your minds and go again with your story of what God has done for you, with your testimony. Be gentle and fearless. And as you repeat your testimony, you say it and it'll fill up again. You say it and you fill it up again. Because it's a sign from heaven, it's a missional archway that actually in this season, this new season, will begin to bear fruit. There is power in your story. The testimony of Jesus, of what he's done, and the testimony of Jesus in your life. Go again through that missional gateway that has been given to us in this season as a sign from heaven. And I'm going to finish on this one last thought. The result of this sign from heaven with Cornelius was absolutely astonishing. In Luke chapter 8, Luke records what happened after the first martyr of Jesus Christ was killed, Stephen. And it says, when Stephen was martyred, the disciples were scattered. And he records that they went sharing the gospel to Judea and Samaria. Luke records specifically as a historian in Luke chapter 8 that the gospel was spread by the Jews to Judea and Samaria, no further. When we go to this account in Acts chapter 11, and the council of the church listen to Peter's account and acknowledge that this is a sign from heaven. They say, oh, this is good. And they permission the gospel to go to the Gentiles because of the acknowledgement of the sign. Luke then reinserts into the account in Acts chapter 11 the story of Stephen's martyrdom. It's very interesting. He repeats himself. Why would such a orderly, carefully worded historian like Luke repeat himself? But he repeats the story in Acts chapter 11, and he adds something. And on this I'll finish. Now those who'd been scattered by the persecution that broke out with Stephen were killed, when he was killed, traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch. Some of them, however, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to the Greeks also, telling them the good news about Jesus. Do you notice what happens? When there is an acknowledgement of the signs from heaven, it releases the gospel beyond your present culture, beyond the culture of the church, beyond the culture of the synagogue, beyond the culture of the Jewish world, beyond the culture of your experience, beyond those who you naturally identify with. When the sign is noticed, acknowledged, blessed, and decisions are made because of it, there's a power that comes from heaven because you've acknowledged it. That's what happens when you acknowledge a sign of heaven. Something, a power from heaven comes that gives birth to something that has a far-reaching effect. It happened to Abraham, the first missional man. He saw, He heard a voice from heaven. He saw the stars in heaven, in the heavens, that God would give him a son. He acknowledged it, and by faith he received righteousness, and something was conceived in Sarah's womb that would affect the nations of the world. I want to encourage you as a church, be alert for the signs from heaven that God is going to give you. Some it will be for an individual, like an Ethiopian eunuch. Some it will be for a people group, a small group, maybe just 5 or 6, but you'll have a sign to go. For some of you, it will be like as a whole church, maybe a new missionary endeavor. But as you acknowledge it, give credence to it by faith, as you bless it, and as you permission it as a gateway in your heart through faith, it will release an activity and expansion of the gospel that is beyond your culture and your present ability to reach. And this is the way that God opens up missional gateways from heaven so that we can have a missional penetration that is beyond our culture and our present experience. Amen.